to having maximum impact in God's kingdom. And tonight we're going to talk about dynamic impact, how to have a dynamic impact. But before I do that, I want to talk a little bit about dynamic duos, people that you may have heard of, and the significance of having two people. The theme tonight that you're going to go home with is about the power of walking together. And every time you think about a dynamic duo, it was always two people. No one should ever walk alone. And so this evening, my challenge to you is not just to keep moving forward, but don't do it alone. Don't do it alone. So when you go back and you look over where there's sports, you think of people like Shaquille O'Neal and Kobe Bryant, great athletes working together. They were a dynamic duo there in the 90s with the LA Lakers. But something happened along the way. Strife got in the way. The quickest way to break unity or to break agreement or to break a team is division or strife. Maybe you think about somebody in the music world, Jay-Z and Beyonce. I mean, they're turning the world upside down with music, the way they influence culture. And you go on and you think of people maybe in the entertainment industry, anybody, Seinfeld people here tonight, you know, George Costanza and Jerry Seinfeld, people loved them and it was all about that. But along the way, things can get sideways, things may go out awkward. And so it's so important for us to understand that in order to make a dynamic impact, God is going to do three things before he starts moving you into that capacity. The first thing is he's always going to give you new people. He's always going to give you new people. The old people will go away. Before God is getting ready to use you to do something great, sometimes he's going to take away people that may be dead weight. Or people that are maybe just on your team now, but God is going to give you somebody that can help encourage you to get further down the way. Next thing he's going to do is he's going to give you a new direction. Because sometimes you're heading in the right direction, you feel that. But Winston Churchill said this. He said, change is good as long as it's in the right direction. And sometimes you can be trying to do something before God is telling you to do it, and it feels difficult and it feels hard. And he can hold you back and say, you know what, number one, you need a new companion. You need somebody that's the closest person to you. You're going to have to shift that person in and out and get a new companion. And number two, you're going to need new people around you. And number three, you're going to go in a different direction. So I'm going to pray. We're going to open up the Bible. We're going to dive right into this word. And I know this. God is going to stir you tonight to make a difference. God is going to challenge you tonight to make a difference. You've come here maybe beaten up, maybe tired, maybe even cynical a little bit. Yeah, I've heard this before. But I know this. If you open your ears tonight and you open your heart, and you say, why not me, Lord? You're going to come in this place one way, and you're going to leave another. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, in these brief moments, I'm asking you that you would move. Move in might, move in power, move in authority. And God, I thank you that you're going to stir some people afresh. God, breathe life and life more abundantly. In Jesus' name. Turn to your Bibles tonight in Acts 16. We're going to start in verse 16, and I'm just going to read a little bit. And this story is about Paul and Silas. And I love talking about Paul and Silas. And the reason is because these two men God used to make a mighty impact in society. It looked bad in the beginning, but it's not how you start. It's always how you finish. It says this. It says, once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul, the rest of us, shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you this is the way to be saved. She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned around and said to the spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. At that moment, the spirit left her. When the owners of the slave girl realized their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them to the. They brought them there, but there before. I like reading from the Bible. And the magistrate said, "These men are Jews, and they are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." Verse 22, the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them was careful. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. Verse 25, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prisons were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." Verse 29, then the jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in the house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately and all the family were baptized. The jailer brought them into this house, set a meal before them. He was filled with joy. He had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. When it was daylight, the magistrate sent their officers to the jailer with the order, "Release those men." The jailer told Paul, "The magistrates have ordered that you and Silas be released. Now you can leave. Go in peace." But Paul said to the officers, "They beat us publicly without a trial, even though we are Roman citizens, and threw us in prison. And now do they want to get rid of us quietly? No. Let them come themselves and escort us out." I want to stop there. Paul, who was Saul, was an evil man. And when Paul became a man of God and began to travel, he had two missionary journeys. On his first journey, he had a man by the name of Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. And this man followed Paul around, and they were doing great things for God. They also had another man with them by the name of Mark. On this journey, these three men got into some intense things on their mission. Mark bailed on them. You got any people anytime that ever bail on you when things get difficult? Bank account gets low. Maybe you're not on top of your game anymore. They just leave. Yeah, that was Mark. Paul, Barnabas, got so heated in this situation that they ended up saying, "You know what? I'm leaving. I'll go my way. You'll go your way." Paul leaves, begins to travel. Along the way, he runs into a man by the name of Luke. Not only does he grab Luke, but he also grabs a woman by the name of Lydia. And not only does he grab a woman by the name of Lydia, but he also gets a man by the name of Silas and Timothy. Can you say squad? Can you say rolling deep? Now all of a sudden he's got the right people around him. Along the way, he wasn't able to do what he needed to do because God was permitting him from going into certain places. But now that he's got the right team, now that he's got the right person, he can go do what God's called him to do. So here they are. He and Silas, others stay behind. The first point I want to make is this. Anytime you get ready to do something great for God, anytime you get ready to make a dynamic impact, the first point is this. You have to be in agreement. You got to find somebody who will stand with you and believe God with you, but they're in agreement with you in what you're getting ready to do. Because when stuff starts rattling, stuff starts shaking, things start quaking, you're going to know what you have when the bottom starts to fall out. It says this in Matthew 18, verse 19. It says, "Where two or more gather together in agreement, there I am in the midst. And whatever you agree on, I will do." If you find somebody in agreement that is like-minded and believes in the name of Jesus Christ, there's nothing you or her cannot do together. But you have to be together, because you can be together and not be together. We got any husbands and wives in the house? Yeah, you know he's watching ESPN and you are in the other room and you're trying to get his attention. Honey, can you do this? Honey, can you do that? And he's not paying attention. Yeah, you're together, but you're not together. The Bible says in Amos 3:3, how can two walk together lest they agree? So as you're walking with another person, you have to be in agreement. You have to say, you know, no matter what, as we are moving forward, we're not going to allow anything to get in between us. Because as soon as division comes, soon as strife comes, soon as all the envy comes, there's going to be a breakdown. It says that they were going through this town and they ran into a slave girl. She was kind of like that Long Island medium, going around prophesying, not prophesying. And she was walking around telling these people about these men are going around doing great things for God. Paul said, man, I haven't enough of this, because she's kind of bothering us, keeping the people away from us, speaks to her and says, in the name of Jesus, commanded that spirit to come out. See, what looked good ended up being bad. This woman's free now, free from this tormenting spirit, free from this evil spirit, free from this false spirit. And how many know you and I can be out doing good and still bad things can happen? That was a good thing. She's free now. But it upset her people to the point where they said, you know what? We need to put these men in prison. They put them in prison, flogged, beat them, took them down. And it said they didn't just put them in any prison. They put them in the inner court, that darkest of the darkest places. Tonight, you may feel like you're in a dark place. You might even feel alone as you're in that dark place. These men was in the bowels of this cell. This was the place that when people did their business up there, went to the bathroom, that mess fell down on them. So not only are they the worst of the worst place, they're in stocks. That means they can't move. They're shackled up and they're bloodied and they're no good and they're feeling bad. And I could imagine Silas looking at Paul saying, man, vision. You ever had a person tell you, I thought that this was supposed to be good when I served this man Jesus, and now it all feels like hell's breaking loose in my life? They might want to bail. They might want to get away from you. But I'm here to tell you tonight, if you're going to make a dynamic impact, not only are you going to have to be in agreement, but you can't walk alone. See, if Paul doesn't have Silas in that dark moment, bad things can happen. Let me tell you, alone is a bad place to be for a man or a woman. How many of you alone, we can do some crazy stuff? I know I can. I mean, alone. Things come into your mind. I'm going to go do this. I'm feeling like that. I'm going to go here. You need somebody beside you say, that is not the Lord. Matter of fact, you might want to go home and take a nap and wake up the next morning, because that is not God. Get some rest and come back and let's do this again. Walking alone. Walking alone is dangerous in this world today. I have a good friend of mine by the name of Stephen Mansfield who has a book out right now called Band of Brothers. If you're a man in the house tonight, you might want to go get this book. He wrote Manly Man first, and this is coming off of doing that book. And in this book, he asked this question. It's 3 a.m. in the morning, and someone is breaking in your home, trying to take your wife and children. Who are you going to call at 3 a.m. that you can trust to go help your wife and kids? And the room is filled with men. And you know what they all did? They just stared. Because a lot of those men don't have brothers like that, that they can send when life is difficult and bad things are happening. No help. You can't walk alone. You can't walk alone. The Bible says in Mark 6, verse 7, it says that Jesus took them, sent them out in twos. He never sent them out alone. He always sent somebody with them. If you're going to go out and make a dynamic impact, you're going to have to go out and do it with somebody else. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. I'm just ripping paper tonight. I'm all over the place. Stay with me. It says this. Verse 9, it says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one lifts up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there is no another to lift him up. Furthermore, if two lie down together, they keep him warm. But how can one be warm alone? And if one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not easily torn apart. I want to break that verse down. Verse 9 is about production. If you're going to have a dynamic impact and you're going to have somebody with you, the more you have with you, the more people are on board, you're going to have a greater production. Verse 10 talks about protection. If you're out there trying to fight and you're going this way, but you got something coming behind you, you need something around you or somebody that can come alongside and help protect you and guard you. Verse 11 is about passion. You ever been around people that are passionate for God, a little bit more than you, that love Jesus? They're kind of almost like borderline crazy. Like, why do you have to go to every prayer meeting? Why do you have to go to every church service? Why every time I come to your house, you got worship music on? Every time I get around you, it's all good. It's never bad. And sometimes it can provoke you or I to go and do something great. You need people around you that will spark faith and power and anointing and love and something and call you to say, go do something. Scott, get off the couch. Quit flipping channels. Go out there and do something great. Go get with Anthony. Go to Africa. Do something. Passion. They're passionate about Jesus and they're passionate about changing the world. And the next is power. Power. Verse 12 is about power. One can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000. When you got somebody in your corner, something great can happen. You know, it was midnight when Paul and Silas, and it said they began to sing hymns, began to praise God. You know, there's something about the midnight hour that everybody thinks is bad. But there's a lot of good things that happen around midnight. In Exodus, it was midnight when God released that final blow to set the children of Israel free. It says that in Psalms 30, verse 5, that joy comes in the morning, that weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. At midnight, it seems to be the darkest of the darkest. But I know that when you're in the midnight hour, if you do like Paul and Silas did, you begin to praise God, you begin to worship God, you begin to thank God in that dark moment, something supernatural always takes place. See, God inhabits the praises of his people. And it's amazing that when your back is against the wall and you choose to give God praise regardless, all of a sudden he comes out of his situation and steps into yours and says, how can I help you? Because there's something about your praise. It's called mature praise. See, anybody can praise God when it's good, but can you praise God when the bottom's falling out in your life, when you can't pay rent, when your car note's overdue, when you can't go to school because all of a sudden they said, you know what, your tuition is not affordable anymore. All of a sudden, can you still give God praise? Can you still get up and go to church? Can you still go to your connect group? Can you still do the things that God has called you to do? These men were beaten, flogged. They were in stocks, bondage. And it said that they began to sing hymns, begin to praise God. And it said all of a sudden there came an earthquake and the doors came loose. It said as they were singing that the guards were listening intently. Do you know that people are listening to you as you talk about Jesus? People are observing you when you go through difficult times and difficult circumstances. People want to know about your missions trips. They want to know about what it is you do on a Monday through Friday. How is it that you have the joy of the Lord all the time when bad things are happening? People are listening intently to see this God that you serve, if he's for real. When the doors flew open, the jailer ran down, got down on his knees and said, "You know what? Don't kill me. I don't need to be killed. I want to live." Because this man knew this, that if anybody had escaped, it was death for him. What must I do to be saved? There's a lot of people in this hour that are asking that question. Money's not making them happy. The relationship's not making them happy. And they're saying, "You know what? What must I do to be saved?" The reason Paul and Silas were able to stay the course is because my third point is this: they had a vision. They had the same vision. And when you have a vision, no matter what is going against you, you find yourself moving forward regardless. See, vision drives a man or a woman. But if you don't have a vision, like the Bible says in Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. People perish because they don't have a vision. They don't have anything to aim for, something bigger than them, something better than them. See, when you get your eyes off yourself and you get your eyes on the things of God, all of a sudden things begin to change in your life. All of a sudden you're not worried about your problems anymore. All of a sudden you're more concerned about God and what God's calling you to do. And the thing that's amazing is you forget about your problems. God answers it. You don't even realize, man, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was. See, what the enemy intends for evil, God always turns for good. These men were beaten. They were in a bad spot. And it says this: not only did the jailer get saved, but it said his whole household. And when you make a dynamic impact, see, it looked bad for Paul and Silas. But what I know about God is this: God will allow situations to continue to happen. And he's pulling you back just a little bit further. Why is this happening? Why am I going through this? And see, all he's doing is pulling you back a little bit further. Man, it's getting tougher. It's getting rougher. But all he's doing is pulling you back, because what he's going to do is he's going to launch you deep into your destiny to hit the mark. So when you hit it, it's with a dynamic impact and it's going to do damage for the kingdom. That's how God works. Some of you think God is holding you back, but really God is setting you up. He's not holding you back. He's setting you up for something great, something dynamic, something that only you will be able to do to help others. See, when you go through a difficult time or a difficult situation, it's not just for you. People want to be able to sit down and look you eye to eye because you've gone through what they've gone through, and you can speak life and life more abundantly. See, in the first journey, he had a man by the name of Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. Paul had him. And Paul, this man was walking around encouraging Paul, "You can do it. You're the greatest. You're amazing. You're awesome. You need that in your life." But on this second journey, he had a man by the name of Silas. And Silas means wood. And I'm going to come back to something about what it means to have wood, because when you have a fire and the flame begins to die down. And see, one time you may have been on fire for Jesus. You were going around doing great things for Jesus. You were on fire telling everybody about God and how good God was and all these good things. But how many of you know you can get a little tired along the way? What we call weariness. You're still in the game, but you're tired. And the flame is going down, starting to smolder a little bit. And as that fire is dying down, the coals are still hot, but the fire's out. And as I'm preaching here tonight, that's what I'm seeing in the spirit over you, is that the coals are still hot, but the fire is dying down because you've gone far and you keep going and you're saying, God, I'm tired and I need you to blow fresh upon me to so that I can burn again. But the thing about wood is this, if you blow on those coals and you put wood on that fire, it'll burn again like never before. It'll blaze, it'll light up, and that's what God wants you to do. He wants to set you ablaze one more time so you can go and do and be what God is calling you to do and be in this season of your life. But the question is this, will you let the Holy Spirit come upon you tonight to stir you afresh? When I got here 2 years ago, I was tired, went through a difficult season, I was weary. I could barely pull myself into church. God had to rearrange some friends around me. I had my friends back in Nashville, but they were no longer here. And then God began to give me Pastor Adam, and then he gave me Pastor Ron, and then he gave me Lynette, and then he gave me Bruce, and then he gave me Terry, and then he gave me Brian Scott, and then he gave me others, and just began to give me Pastor George, and all of a sudden I had this new team around me. I was a little weary, and I seen wood, pillars. And they would just begin to blow faith on me. Pastor, you're going to do it. It's going to get better. Just stay the course. We got you. You're going to make an impact here in New York. And you're going to make an impact here in Jersey. But you just need to stay the course. Here's our vision. Lay hold of it. Just take your time. Let God heal you. Let God bring you back to where you need to be. You know what? I felt that wind of encouragement come upon me. And I can't wait to burn like days of old for Jesus. It's a new day. It's a new day. And just like Jesus is coming and visiting me afresh, my prayer is that he would come and visit you fresh tonight. See, Jesus has a way of getting to his people in the midnight hour, in the dark places. If you remember Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, Jesus showed up in that fiery furnace. Daniel in the lion's den. He was there. Esther going before the king, standing next to her there. If you're going to make a dynamic impact, it's not just about having people, but it's having the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords on your side. Because if God be for you, who or what can be against you? And God is calling you in this hour. Stop making excuses. Stop saying what you can't do and start telling God what you can do. Stand up and say, you know what, God, sign me up. Put me in the game. The coals are maybe out. There may be a little, the fire may be out, but the coals are still hot. I just need you to blow afresh on me. And I promise you this, you're going to see God set you ablaze and be used by him to do some great things. Can we stand to our feet? I'm going to pray a prayer of faith over us tonight. And as Will and this worship team comes and plays, I'm asking God tonight to breathe upon you, to reignite you, to go make a dynamic impact. No longer will you walk alone. If you're by yourself tonight, I'm challenging you to get in a connect group. Challenge you to go find somebody who you can build with, that you can grow with, and that you can change the world with. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, God, I thank you for every man and every woman that is in this place. God, I pray that you would begin to move in the hearts and the minds of people. Raise your hands wherever you are. Holy Spirit, come. And breathe the breath of life upon every man and every woman in this room. I come against discouragement tonight in the name of Jesus. I command you to go. I come against fear, doubt, and unbelief. Even that cynical spirit that mocks God, I command you to leave these people. And I call forth the gift of faith. Faith to believe. Faith to do what you're calling, God is calling you to do. God, I pray now that, Lord, you would move like never before. That you would stir people, dreams and visions. God, you'd speak to them the way that they know they need to be spoken to in order to go do the things you're calling them to do. Thank you, Lord. There's nations on the hearts and minds of people tonight. Even as Anthony was speaking, some of you are being stirred and saying, you know what, I used to be like that. I used to go to missions trips all the time. I hear the Holy Spirit calling some of you back. Get your passport ready. Get back out on that mission field and go win souls for Jesus. Some of you have been dreaming big dreams and asking God, is this really you? God is saying, yes. I'm for you, not against you. Withhold nothing good from those that walk uprightly. Some of you have been walking upright. God, I'm doing this and I'm doing that. I'm doing everything right. But why hasn't the breakthrough happening? Just hold on. The answer's on the way. Some of you feel alone. Lord, where are you? I need you. God is a present help in the time of need. God, I'm asking right now that you'd come alongside these men and women and bear their burdens. Some of y'all are carrying burdens that you have no business carrying. They're not yours. They're God's. Give it to them tonight. And you carry the ones he's called you to carry. And so God, I thank you. I thank you that your answer is right now, is here tonight. And Lord, I pray that every man and every woman in the vicinity of my voice that's hearing me, they would make a dynamic impact for you. No longer will they walk alone, but they're going to yoke up with people like-minded, get in agreement, same vision, same God, on one accord. And Father, release the power of God in this place to win souls here in the Union Square area. No weapon formed against them shall prosper. It's not going to work. And God, I thank you. That